This is PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller with the Daily Keller Hotline covering the July 31st edition of TNA Impact with TV ratings as part of the analysis. TV ratings for this edition of Impact, which came 1 week after one of the better Impacts I think they've had in a while. And in addition, that they actually did a nice job hyping the week before, and they had a lot to hype on the show from July 24th. Now, this show was a week after that, and I think usually ratings bumps occur the week after a newsworthy, exciting show or the week of a show that's been hyped well. And I think the last 2 weeks were either hyped well or, in the case of the July 31st show, followed a good show. I don't think this show was a good show, but I think that it had an advantage from a ratings perspective coming a week after a good show. So, with that in mind, the rating was pretty much flat, pretty much the same, but it was better than it was the previous 2 weeks, and it was the highest average audience since February. They had 1.6 million viewers. Now, that's just by a hair, and when you consider that TNA has small ups and downs, but not major ups and downs, it's not a reason to pop champagne corks or to really affirm that they're doing anything all that right any more than a slight drop is an affirmation that they're doing a lot wrong. Now, this is certainly better news than if you look back 4, 8, 12 weeks ago when there were some ups and downs, including flirting with consistently being under 1.0. This is better news. However, they are dealing with less competition. There's no sports, or very little sports other than some baseball games, and there's no major first-run programming. I mean, they go up against Last Comic Standing on NBC and that type of thing. But we're not talking The Office. We're not talking higher-end first-run programming on Thursday night. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Audience levels tend to be down in the summer. Wrestling tends to survive that a little bit better than other shows because it's so episodic and year-round and always first-run programming. Loyal viewers tend to stay with it season to season, even with seasonal changes. So with all that as a preface, it earned a 1.10 rating. Last week it was 1.11, so it actually went down slightly in rating, but up slightly in audience, and that just has to do with the fact that a rating is a percentage of an audience level that changes, and it's so slight, it's just not statistically significant. But a 1.1 is better than a 1.0, and a 1.0 is better than a 0.95 or a 0.93. So, it's not bad news. Quarter hour ratings affirm one thing. And this isn't from just a one-episode sample. This is from over time. The TNA Knockouts were featured in the main event match, a sole 2-on-2 women's tag match. No real other big hook. There's a little bit with Samoa Joe, but it was very tiny. The rating popped to a show-high rating of 1.18. With the men in main events, the same male wrestlers we've seen on top for many years now, having the same meaningless matches with convoluted finishes and all that, and whatever, you know, all the negatives that are there that you can draw from have not been drawing ratings that are the same as the TNA Knockouts. This was a good experiment. I'm glad TNA did it, and I think it showed some faith in the Knockouts and a desire to learn something. And they did. It was the highest rating of the show, quarter hour number 8, 1.18, for the beautiful people against Gail Kim and TNA Knockout champion Taylor Wilde. At the very end, they had just a brief clip of Samoa Joe climbing up the stairs to get to the rafters, and then a few minutes later at the very end of the show, showed him calling out for Sting, and then they showed a Black Crow sitting in the rafters. So, the show wasn't built around that. They didn't advertise that. I do not think people were staying tuned for that. I think the rating went up because they had a women's wrestling match with characters that are well-defined. They are portrayed as if they matter, as if they what they're doing is important. And there are personality conflicts between those women that I think people get into and personalities people get into with well-defined baby faces and heels. And it's not just treated as a T&A type product. And that all works in its favor. It actually jumped up from a 1.1 rating in quarter hour number 7, which was above the 1.02 rating that they drew in quarter hour number 6. Same thing happened in hour one. It started strong, started okay, you know, with a 1.06, dropped to a 0.98, and then grew to a 1.01, and then closed with a 1.16 at the end of the first hour. They lost some viewers at the top of the hour, and I can't help but think it had something to do with the boneheaded move of editing the show. Remember, the show's post-produced. They can rearrange things if they need to make it work. They started off the second hour with a commercial break, and the rating dropped. When you start off at the beginning of an hour, when people are flipping around looking for something to watch, let's say someone's sitting down. This is PW Torch editor Wade Keller, and that concludes another random 5-minute free audio clip from a Torch VIP audio show. We feature a wide variety of audio shows, around 50, sometimes more than 60 audio shows in any given month, from a wide variety of perspectives, from a wide variety of contributors to the Torch, and this is just one sample of that. Keep checking back at pwtorch.com for other free 5-minute clips. And of course, we encourage you, if you're so inclined, to try a VIP membership and get the feature length, the full length audio updates of all of our audio shows throughout the week. For more information on becoming a VIP member, just click on the VIP sign up button in the upper left corner of the screen, right underneath the pwtorch.com logo. Thanks for your support of the Torch, and until next time, Wade Keller signing off.